Here we are at the Madhya Lila, chapter 13, the Lord's dancing at Rathayatra. And we're at text 148 and 149. Shunya Radhikavani Rajaprem Mane Ani Bhave Vyakulita Dehaman Rajalokir Prem Shuni Apanake Rine Mani Kare Krishna Tare Ashvasana. After hearing Srimati Radharani's statements, Lord Krishna's love for the inhabitants of Vrindavan was evoked, and his body and mind became very perturbed. After hearing of their love for him, he immediately thought himself to be always indebted to the residents of Vrindavan. Then Krishna began to pacify Srimati Radharani as follows. Pran priye shun mor e satya vachan tomar sabhar smarane jurun mui ratri dine mor dukkha na jane kon jana. My dearest Srimati Radharani, please hear me. I am speaking the truth. I cry day and night simply upon remembering all you inhabitants of Vrindavan. No one knows how unhappy this makes me. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It is said, Vrindavanam prityaja padam ekam nagacchati. In one sense, Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sakchidananda Vigraha, does not even take one step away from Vrindavan. However, in order to take care of various duties, Krishna had to leave Vrindavan. He had to go to Mathura to kill Kamsa. And then he was taken by his father to Dwarka, where he was busy with state affairs and disturbances created by demons. Krishna was away from Vrindavan, and he was not at all happy, as he plainly disclosed to Srimati Radharani. She is the dearmost life and soul of Sri Krishna, and he expressed his mind to her as follows. In the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we find the sentiment of viraha, or separation, to be prominent. But if we look closely, we'll find it throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. As a precursor, Madhavendra Puri expressed near the end of his life his sentiments of separation from the Lord, which were misunderstood by one of his disciples, Ramachandra Puri, and very much understood by Srila Ishvara Puri, who pleased his spiritual master by helping him during the time when he was leaving the world to go more deeply within this feeling of separation, where he was calling out to the Lord, saying that I was unable to attain you. And, of course, Srila Ishvara Puri was so blessed by his spiritual master that he became the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada mentions how this flavor of separation first appeared in Madhavendra Puri. It was a harbinger of things to come. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll notice throughout the cantos, starting with the first canto in the very beginning, Yasmanu Bhavam Akhila Shruti Saramekam Adhyatma Deepam. No, before that, Yam Pravajantam Anupetam Apetakritam Dvai Payano Viraha Kartara Ajuhava Putreti Tanmayatriya Taravo Binitus Tam Sarva Bhutare Munim Anatosmi. The outset of the second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the second verse, we hear how Srila Vyasadeva, after his son Shukadeva Goswami was born, called out to him. His son wasn't interested in anything at all, even wearing clothes. What to speak of speaking to his family, or especially not going to school, apetakrityam. None of that. He turned around and took off for the forest. And his father, Viraha, in feeling a separation, called out to him, "Oh, my son." And as is poetically rendered there in the Bhagavatam, that only the trees echoed in response to the bereaved father, "Oh, my son, oh, my son, oh, my son." And we find also in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Arjuna approaches Yudhishthira, and he looks pale, gaunt, unlike Arjuna, the great warrior, hero, jocular, and powerful. He looks diminished, and Yudhishthira begins questioning him and asking him questions about why he might be in that condition. Of course, it's known that Krishna has left the planet, but giving all these options for why he might feel despondent, he asks him if he was unable to carry out his duty in some way or what might have happened to him. And he concludes his speculations about what might have happened with saying, "Or is it that your friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has left this world?" And heart-rending that Arjuna, the great warrior, is reduced to this heartfelt but overwhelming sense of not being able to carry on because of being separated from Krishna. And throughout the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we find even in Shikshashtakam, where he's describing how he feels when he's separated from Krishna, Govinda Virahiname talks about how the one moment feels like 12 years or more in separation from Krishna. And as described, and Prabhupada would comment on the Shad Goswami Ashtakam, which describes how the six Goswamis of Vrindavan were looking everywhere for Krishna. Prabhupada said, it's not that they found him. They're always looking for him. Is he over on Govardhan Hill, or has he gone to the pastures with the cows? They say, where is he? How can we find him? And this was the mood of the Goswamis, the separation, as was taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the highest sentiment. If we go back even further to the Upanishads, we find Tadejati, Tanayjati, Tadure, Tadvantike, Tarantarasya, Sarvasya, Taru Sarvasya, Sibayata. Philosophically, the Lord is far away, but he's very near as well. He's within everything, and yet he is outside of everything. Sort of ironically, in the chapter 82 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is describing the meeting at Kukshetra, and once before in Vrindavan, when Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan with a message for the gopis to assuage their sense of separation from him, Krishna sent these messages which might appeal to jnanis and yogis, very Upanishadic. The Lord is far away, is very near as well. And at Kukshetra, after Uddhava had given these messages to the gopis, he sensed their futility in Vrindavan. As the gopis didn't care for such instructions, and as Krishna tries it again when he's in Kurukshetra and he meets the gopis there after 100 years, and he tells them that, "I'm all pervading, I'm within everything. When you become self-realized, you'll see all this." And as described by our acharyas, they become sarcastic, a little angry at Krishna, as they were in Vrindavan when Uddhava brought the same message. And Krishna says that this separation that we're undergoing, it's all the arrangement of the Lord. And then they respond, "Excuse me, but you are the Lord?" And Krishna says, "Well, anyway, amai bhaktir hi bhutanam amritat vayakalpate Dishta yad asin matsneho bhavatina marapanaha. He says that you have attained a very special kind of devotional service, which is very, very rare in this world. And by that, you've attained the highest fortune. This was one of the tenets of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, that, as he says, from the Chaitanya Manjusha, who's describing Arajo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayasta Dhamma Vrindavana Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavidu Bargena Valkopita, that the, as Prabhupada puts it, the method invented by the gopis of Vrindavan for worshipping Krishna was the topmost. Nobody had a better system for worshipping Krishna in this very unceremonious, deeply loving way, so much so that they could be sarcastic with Krishna. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. And a key verse in the 82nd chapter in the discussion that they're having with Krishna is celebrated in many places, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also selected verses to chant at the Rathyatra, and one of them goes, Ahushchate nalina naba padada vinna yogeshwara hridi vichinta, that the yogis, they're very qualified for worshipping. Ahushchate nalina naba padada vinna yogeshwara hridi vichinta agada bodhai. Samsara kupa patito taranava lambam. They say, but who are we? We're geham jusham api manas udayat sadhana. We're simply householders. What do we know? We're just attached to everything in the world. And this is sarcastic because Krishna already had mentioned to them previously that you're the topmost, you've forsaken everything for me. So when the gopis say this, say our acharyas, and again, this is insider information we get from our disciplic succession, they're saying this out of jealous or sarcastic love. And their opinion of Krishna's teachings is not very sanguine. They feel that these teachings are an insult to them. In fact, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, when they're describing this meditation and seeing Krishna within everything, and just meditate on me, the kind of advice he gives to them, then they're saying, meditate on you, we try to forget you, and we can't do that. And then they say, whenever we do think of you, we swoon, and we can't hold ourselves steady. So how could we be like the yogis and steadily meditate upon you? And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives this analogy that the gopis there are like chakora birds. And the chakora birds, they wait for the moonlight. They don't like the sun. So they're saying, in his paraphrase of what gopis are saying to Krishna in jealous anger, that your instructions about seeing me everywhere within everyone's heart, Gyani-esque teachings, they're like sunshine, and they're just burning us. We want to see the moonlight, which is your face in Vrindavan. So this poetry is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived on in Jagannath Puri. In his Antilila, after he had received a message from Advaita Acharya, which was, the marketplace is now saturated, nobody needs rice anymore. When Mahaprabhu read that message, then Swarup Damodar feigned that he didn't understand it, and others around were confused. And Mahaprabhu said that the master has spoken. He calls the deity and then he asks them to leave. And Kaviraj Goswami says, after that message, that starts the Antilila. at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes become like that of a mad person's. He goes to the Gambira, that little room in Jagannath Puri. Gambira means deep. So he goes into this seclusion in a tiny little room, but he goes into the deepest state of this sense of separation. And we know from the diaries of Sarup Damodar, his activities there, that even though the doors were locked and there was no way out, he'd somehow escape. He sometimes would, the devotees would go looking for him and find that he would have his limbs shrunken within his body or fully extended to such a degree that they could barely recognize him. And once Mahaprabhu, in a moonlit night, seeing the ocean in Puri, had dived in thinking that it was the Jamuna, and he had floated towards Konark and was fished out by a fisherman who fished at midnight and caught him in his net and thought he was a ghost. Because when he touched him, he became filled with these symptoms of love of God. And along the beach, he met the devotees, among whom were Surab Damrar, looking for the Lord, who had been lost for some time. And the fisherman could barely speak. Surab Damrar asked him if he'd seen Mahaprabhu anywhere. He said, "No, but I caught a ghost in my net." He said, "How do you?" Surab Damrar said, "How do you know he's a ghost?" He said, "Well, at night when I fish in order to be saved from evil elements, because I'm killing fish late at night, I chant the Nisringa mantra. And after I touched him, now when I chant the Nisringa mantra, tears come to my eyes. And after I've touched him, I can't give up these emotions that are coming to me." And Surab Damodar said, "I'm an exorcist." And he slapped him in the face 3 times. And he said, "Now you're cured." And the fisherman sobered up from his ecstasies. And Surab Damodar explained to him, "This is Mahaprabhu." And he said, "No, fisherman, I've seen Mahaprabhu. I've seen the Lord many times. Doesn't look like him." He said, "That's what happens through his ecstasies." And they brought Mahaprabhu back to his external consciousness, and he had revealed that he had been absorbed there in Vrindavan, and now, "Why did you bring me back?" An admonition he gave several times, even at Chatak Parvat, after he had gone into ecstasy and the devotees chanted and brought him back. And said, "Oh, I was just witnessing Krishna and Radharani's pastimes, and then you interrupted me." So his ecstasies were fanned, the fire of his ecstasies were fanned by Surab Damodar and Ramananda Roy there in the Gambir, and they would sing these songs from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Gita Govinda, Jayadev Goswami's songs about separation from Krishna. So this Antya Lila shows the ultimate goal of the separation. And we find in our other acharyas like Raghunath Das Goswami, who writes in Stavamala about after his spiritual masters leave the world, his Shiksha Gurus, Rupan Sanatan, had departed. And then he writes the nature of the heavy-hearted separation he feels from him. And he says, "Now when I see Govardhan Hill, Govardhan appears to be a python wanting to swallow me up. And when I see Radhakund, he's in such a despondent mood out of separation from his spiritual masters," he says, "I see Radhakund to be a ferocious tiger also wanting to devour me." And that comes to the ways in which we, as students of the disciplic succession, can enter into this very high topic, which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said one should keep far above one's head. But since it's the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita class, and this is the verse, that's why we're discussing it. But what access do we have? That's always the most important question, because you may have a high-minded philosophy, but unless you're able to enter in, then what does it mean to you? And we find that in the disciplic succession, we have the Vaishnavas, who are the representatives of Krishna in this world. In fact, we can feel this loving separation from the devotees, as opined by Ramananda Roy, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, what is the most unbearable pain in this world? He said, the most unbearable pain in this world is separation from the Vaishnav. There's nothing more severe than that. Which indicates that the way that one finds this thread of this Vipralamba is to become very deeply attached to a Vaishnav. And the way to become most definitely connected is through service necessity. The service is passed down through the disciplic succession, and if one can find in a Vaishnav, find a Vaishnav who's fully engaged in service, having had that bequeathed to him or her, and then one is able to take that same service mood, then one also even more readily becomes attached to Krishna through that service from the Vaishnavas. And we find the same taste in association with the Vaishnavas when we're able to associate and serve the Vaishnavas. And Prabhupada writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Adi Lila first chapter, that in the absence of one's spiritual master, one should take the instruction of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. Even if there is some physical separation, one never feels separated. I had experienced when Prabhupada left the world, and I was in New York at the time, at 340 West 55th. And every day, I was going to LaGuardia Airport with my godbrother Pragosh. And as we heard the news that Prabhupada had left there in the temple, and we stayed up all night chanting, and there was a feast, and the next morning everyone was emotionally and physically exhausted, but Pragosh came to get me, and he said, of all days, today we have to go out and do our service. And we got in our station wagon, and we drove to LaGuardia Airport, rather dazed. And as I went up the escalator to approach the place I usually would distribute books, I felt disconnected from the world. But as soon as I stepped on that little area where I was supposed to stand every day, according to the airport, I suddenly felt this acute sense of connection to Prabhupada that I had not felt so acutely throughout my devotional life. And because I put my foot on the floor, and there was a sense of spiritual electricity coming through, and a revelation that you'll never be separated because that service is there. And through our service, we can actually take the power of Krishna's presence. It said, we're little rays of Krishna. Krishna is the sun. We know how powerful one little jiva can be, right? Like, look at Hiranyakashipu. He was very determined to wreck everything, and he pretty much did for a long time. Little jivas who are wayward like to wreck stuff, and he did a good job of it. And Krishna, imagine his power. We're just little parts. What can Krishna do? Just by his glance, the whole world is created. And what to speak of the power of his love? It's not that we can just go directly and say, oh, just go ahead, give me the full dose. One would have to be fortified for that. For instance, in the crucible, where you purify metal and bring out the essence of it. You see, ever seen that? Metal boiling? Then you might ask, what's the container it's in? What's keeping that together? You have to have a container. Or the lotus, as has been said poetically, it thrives on the direct sun rays, but it has to be in the water. If it gets direct sun rays without the water, it'll be scorched. So in a similar way, we can understand these topics only when we're ensconced in the service, authorized service to the Vaishnava. And that's like the water that protects us. Then we can take the rays of the sun. And through that service, we come to know whatever Krishna wants us to know about it. And it comes to us also in a very practical way in our loving service to Vaishnavas, which of course is Krishna's preoccupation as well. You know, when Krishna came to see Shrutadeva and Bahulashva, if you remember the story, they couldn't go to Dwarka because they're too busy worshiping their deities. Nonetheless, they were pure devotees. And Krishna went to see them. He invited the sages who had assembled there to come along and get on the chariot. Normally, they wouldn't get on a chariot, but he insisted, so they got on. And when he went to Mathila, both Shrutadeva and Balashva greeted him. Shrutadeva was a poor Brahmin, and Balashva was a wealthy king. I guess all you have to say is king, not wealthy king. And Krishna then expanded himself, Vaibhava Prakash, and made himself in identical forms for each one of them. What's more, he expanded himself into all the sages. It's just like, as you're probably remembering now, when Brahma stole away the cows and calves and boys, Krishna became the cows, calves, and boys. And each one, that is, Shrutadeva and Balashva, thought, Krishna's only with me. And they went back to their respective homes in that place. And Balashva worshipped the Lord, asked him to stay for some days, and so did Shrutadeva. And you'll notice when Shrutadeva is glorifying Krishna, Krishna stops him and says, too much. Don't glorify me, glorify the sages. For they are the way that you can understand me. And I am the servant of these sages, and I'm a servant of my devotees. This is one of the qualities of Krishna, that he's subservient to his devotees. He's the servant of his devotees in the sense that his love is so overwhelming for them that he's always trying to do more and more for the devotees as they're trying to do more and more for him. So in a conclusion-like way, so we can have a few minutes for discussion, the pastimes of Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam parallel Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. But as we know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is demonstrating how they unfold in the life of a devotee, that is the pastimes of the Lord, and how one might approach that realm of Leela through becoming a servant of the servant of the servant and taking the mood of the Dasya Ras to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet and to the servants of Lord Chaitanya. And just as a final point, so I don't forget, Bhagavatam, 11th canto, has mentioned that in the material world, where the souls are estranged from Krishna, there's an emptiness in their lives that's so intense that the personified Vedas say that pain of emptiness from not being in connection with Krishna and his devotees is worse than death and hell. And when we go out to meet people, yesterday we had opportunity, I and my wife had an opportunity to go out with the kids' Sankirtan party, and we went to Bushi. We even went to Howard Close. See, I know the area here. And we found that sense of emptiness in people's lives. The world seems barren. But when the devotees come and they chant Hare Krishna, they have books, they have prasadam and so forth, there's a palpable sense that they're being connected to the sun of Krishna. That is the sun rays of the disciplic succession that's coming down through Prabhupada, who gave us this eternal service of reaching out to all these souls and giving them an opportunity to enter into the process of devotional service. So let's take a few reflections and questions to try to fluff out the conversation a little bit. So, please.
Hare Krishna. So we know that Lord Chaitanya set the example for the perfect devotee. But I was just reflecting on the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and then the difference between that and the example that Prabhupada set, whereas Lord Chaitanya was in seclusion and Prabhupada stayed with the devotees and always translating and preaching. So what do we learn from these two examples?
We learn that we should, as Prabhupada says in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, if you'd like to try that, you can, but it's not recommended. That means fasting for months at a time and doing very severe austerities. Prabhupada mentions there that we should try to follow in the footsteps, but not imitate. I was just in San Francisco and I took a group of devotees to the old San Francisco temple, which is still there. At least one wall of it is, and the rest was built out into something else. And then there's a place where Prabhupada used to stay a block away, and I showed them that. And I remember the first time that I went there and a group of us met Prabhupada, and he said to us after he heard the Sankirtan results, he said, "You must also read my books. I've not written them just for selling. I've written them for you to read, become pure devotees, and go back to Godhead." In some places, Prabhupada says, you should read for several hours a day. And if we take this mood of the Gambira, that we should go deeply within the subject matter, I felt that it would be impossible to match Prabhupada's acumen for writing these books, what to speak of the stamina that he had to not sleep and just produce the books. But we can try to run behind and match that to as much of a degree as we can in reading them. And Prabhupada gave those types of instructions, that was circa 1973, in the midst of a growing movement where the bent was towards just work and don't look up. And I always knew Prabhupada wanted us to go into a Gambira-like situation for at least part of our time to go deeply within his books. I never had to reconcile that because Prabhupada was so clear about it. And so we have that opportunity also. We should organize our lives so we take some time as life goes by really fast. And it's not that we just live a distracted life and accidentally go back to Godhead. We have to truly become absorbed. So we do have to find our own Gambira, just as we have to find our own Jaladuta as well. We may not catch the same Jaladuta, but you have to catch some Jaladuta. Like, go out. That's not hard. Don't let your mom call you at the last minute and tell you you need a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and therefore you can't go. Just go. And also, just get a Gambira somewhere. Find it. Work it into your schedule. And that's important. We have to have that in our lives. Okay, a couple more.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Especially in the beginning of the class you were describing, we were reading of all these, the sentiment of these great devotees and of Lord Chaitanya himself, and of their remembrance, for example, of Krishna, and this spiritual nostalgia, we can say, that they had for him. And sometimes we may also have some, we may remember and have some nostalgia for certain spiritual moments of our life, or moment in which our relationship maybe with Krishna was higher than high, very high. And my question is, how can we find motivation from this remembering and this, we can say, separation and remembering of these moments in our life, instead of maybe find only have this remembering, but without finding the motivation to develop more attraction and devotion?
Well, I find that generally they're one and the same. If I think back to times in which I felt absorbed in Krishna consciousness, it's a very reassuring and motivating experience for me. So I'm not sure about thinking about deeply devotional experiences one has had and then categorizing it as non-motivational. One thought I have had, especially since I'm getting old-ish, is that it's important to plan so that you can put together one full life. Make a plan. Stay in the practice of Krishna consciousness throughout your whole life. Don't take a hiatus. And take some risks to try to go as deeply as possible into your service and into your practice, because you don't want to leave anything on the field. Or you don't want to not leave everything on the field. Sorry, I tried to use a sports analogy. It means take advantage of every moment. When Rajendranandan Prabhu, my godbrother, got news that he had a week to live after he had had a backache for a while, and they said, it's 1 week. And he said, it comes so quickly. And so it's important to plan ahead and make sure that you can collect up all these experiences. And even if you don't know where they went, they're in there. Prabhupada mentions in one of his purports that the ear holes are very small, but inside is as big as the sky. There was a comic strip called Farside. Gary Larson, I think he retired. But one of them I had clipped. He had a student. He was walking up to his teacher and he said, my brain is full. I can't do this anymore. But our brains don't become full. It goes in and it stays in, just as every commercial I ever heard on television when I was a kid is still in there. I know all the songs. You can quiz me anytime. So every festival, every service that you do is vitally important. And speaking of service, the dedication, as I mentioned in the beginning, that the devotees have here for so many superlative activities that you do here at Bhaktivedanta Manor and the surrounding areas, such an exemplary yatra in all ways. Today is the 21st anniversary of the appearance of Vrindadevi here at Bhaktivedanta Manor. So we'd like to offer accolades to those who have been so steadily worshipping her, and remember how important Vrindadevi is. In fact, at Vrindakund, where she resides, her messenger parrot, Daksha, that you see on her hand, has millions of minions. And they go out every day and they look through the whole of Vrindavan to find the ideal places for Radha and Krishna's pastimes during the day. And then Vrindadevi from that place plans out the schedule for the divine couple. And so you have Vrindadevi here fully manifest, overseeing your activities, which are all part of the internal energy. So let's give a deep thank you to the devotees who are taking care of Vrindadevi. Hare Krishna. Also today, I just have to finish this announcement, then I'll call you. We have a really special opportunity. We're going to go out to Watford for book distribution. And everybody's invited. We're leaving soon after breakfast to go to Watford. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to perform any or do any tricks. You just have to come out and be there. Don't think that when you if you come to Watford, and people are going to watch you and think, let's see you do this. They may watch me and think, let's see you do this. But don't worry, just come out and feel what it feels like to walk out the door. And did you want to say something too? Yes, okay, go ahead. You better be quick, because we're, by attrition, we're losing our audience.
Yes, breakfast is not till 9 o'clock anyway, so... You know, so.
Oh, yes, Prabhu, please, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's when you said about when
Prabhupada... we need one deep breath, because energy has gone out of the room. Yeah. One second. Okay. Just take a deep breath.
Okay.
Can you stay for a couple more minutes?
Yeah.
I just want to honor your question.
Yeah, Go ahead. Not a question, it's a memory, actually. We went to New Vrindavan, and they were telling about when Prabhupada left, and the dense feeling of despair that they felt. And then it reminded me of what they said after. They said, all of a sudden, that somehow... they felt they had to carry on. It was, you know, it's like Jesus and the disciples. When he left, the Holy Spirit entered into them. And they became... I remember Varshana Maharaj, who's such an amazing resident there. They were reciting that. But that moment that they knew they had to carry on and keep going. And that place has been through so many difficulties. But now you see what they're trying to revitalize out there. And I was so inspired when I saw it. The same with Sharanagati, you know, the devotees there. It was an inspiring visit. But again, it was these feelings that their spiritual master had given them. And they were so inspired. And to carry on, and that inspired me to carry on. Yeah, thanks.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, dear Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Sri Gauritai, Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, Sitam Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman, if you so desire, please give us the inspiration to go on and use this lifetime in the service of Sri Guru Parampara. Thank you for considering our request. Om Tat Sat.